Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And this is another beautiful and wonderful day that the Lord has made for us. I tell you, God is good. And his return is soon. You know, just imagine that the King is coming. But he's given us another day to be faithful in. And I cherish every day that I can be faithful. And a lot of my prayers nowadays is, Lord, what can I do more? What can I do now? What can I say that will make the difference? And the Lord loves us. I know he loves people. And there are people that he wants his people to know him. He loves all of us. And his love is very strong. And the one of the wisest things I ever did besides getting saved in the first place and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit was asking the Lord to teach me how to love his people, because he took me far beyond myself. So when I follow God, every time in any form of obedience, if you do it on purpose, if you're willing and obedient, anytime you're willing and obedient and you're in agreement with God, then now you're at a point where you can be taken far beyond yourself, far beyond your limited thoughts, and into his unlimited life. And that's what I desire for all people. Because when we're in agreement with God that we follow him, we're in agreement to the point that we obey him and we follow him. We're in a position to learn greater things, and it's easier to grow from glory to glory. It's like watching TV without interference. You know, I grew up at a time where they had those rabbit ears. You know, most people wouldn't know what that is now. And you had two long antennas and one round one. And you could, if you had to play with those antennas to get a good picture. Even my children wouldn't know what that is, and they grown. And but I grew up in the I was born in 63, grew up in the 60s, 70s, you know, and then they made better TVs when cable came out. Everybody had a clear picture that had cable. Nevertheless, if you lived in rural areas, you had to deal with those antennas if you lived too far away from the city. And when it rained, you had that snowy look. You might be interested in the show, but you got snow in it. And you can't. And it may be a very interesting program, but it goes in and out, and then there's snow with it. Well, the knowledge of God, it comes to us, and the knowledge of the world interferes with the knowledge of God to the point that you have to bull through drive out the darkness in order to receive the light. And sometimes the enemy tries to interfere. The Lord will tell you something, and it's like something is fighting you from knowing what God is saying. And sometimes it'll be forgotten in one moment. That's the enemy trying to take it away from you. But when you have the love of God in you and the Lord speaks, you have to receive it. We receive the word of God on purpose. It's not an accident. Sometimes people are, because of what's being said, it will answer problems, and you can tell when you're hearing something that's going to help you, and you're more receptive at that moment. And then when you hear something that you agree with, you're still receptive, but it's not urgent. The information is necessary. You know it's good. You know it's good to know, but it's not urgent right now. Well, when the Lord speaks, it's always time to grab it. It may not be relevant to your life, but it's going to put you in a position to be a blessing to someone else later on, or something's coming that the Lord sees coming. And he's helping you to prepare. So whatever the Lord speaks or whatever he gives you, you know, a lot of times the prophet was minding his own business. Sometimes they wasn't even in prayer, and the word of the Lord would come to them saying something. And these are the things that you have to put on the top shelf. That's what I do. That's the top priority. When I say top shelf, I don't mean the top shelf. I'm going to leave it on the shelf for later. It means it's the highest priority. That's my way of saying I'm making this my highest priority. Whatever the Lord bring to me and I didn't ask for it, that's my highest priority. That's where my training is. That's where I dig in deep so I can trust God throughout the whole process. See, in faith, how it works in different ways. Some things are already done. Jesus, he died for us on the cross. He paid for our salvation. We don't have to work for it at all. All the work for salvation and all the work for healing is done. We just have to believe and receive it. But when it comes to financial possessions or forms of prosperity, there are sowing and reaping involved. If you desire a car, for instance, well, people have to get up out of their bed, go to work, and build this thing. And the company has to put it together, and then the car belongs to them. If you want it, you have to buy it. And they're doing it so that people can have jobs. So if you really want the car, you have to pay for it. So if you desire it, and you're praying for God to bless you with it, you're going to have to get out of your bed and go and work. You know that God is going to help you to receive it one day. But there's a part you got to play in this. It's not like healing where the work has already been done by Jesus. You got to do the work. And asking God to ask somebody to give it to you, that's not right. If the Lord set it up to where you do my work and I'll bless you with a car, that's understandable. That it's still work. You're doing something for God, and God is going to put things in motion for you to be blessed. Now I've been going to church all my life, and the testimonies where people gave people great items like cars and homes and great sums of money, the people have been doing God's work. They were not sitting around watching TV. They were not sitting around watching soap operas. They were busy. Their hands were on the plow for a long time. And when it was time for things to be put in motion, they were busy doing God's work. They couldn't go out and get a job to buy the luxuries of life. They had to do God's work. And then God himself put it on somebody's heart to be a blessing. And that's living by faith, but it's also living by works. They did work, it's just a different form of work. And the Lord backed them up. I never in my life heard a testimony where somebody was just sitting around doing nothing, and they prayed for a car, and God gave it to them. Now, a man might give it to you out of the goodness of his heart, or he may just not want it anymore. But God is not involved. When God is involved, God tells people specifically what to do. And then when they do it, then God blesses them. But people have tried to live by believing God for somebody else to do their part. And that never happens. I can even say it never has happened, and it never will. But when God is involved, it's always been the case where their hands were on the plow and they were not looking back. These are the kind of people that God blessed. These are the kind of people I want to help. You know, and when the Lord first called me to minister, to be a minister, I didn't want to be a minister. I wanted to be a businessman and make money and help people that knew what they were doing, because I knew I didn't know what I was doing. But when the Lord called me, then I said, well, I don't know what to do. I said, do you want me to go to school? He didn't open that door for me to go to school, seminary. I asked the Lord all these questions. I didn't just jump out there and just, I said, how do I do it? What do I do? He said, follow me. Now, he didn't say go to Rhema. I would have went. He didn't say go to ORU. I would have went. I did go to a college at church. My pastor at that time, he had a doctorate, and he taught us. He was a good pastor too, Elder Lewis. All the ministers, he had about 7 or 8 of us. I have to remember back in, it was about 7 or 8 of us that, and he gave us a course. And anybody that wanted to join in, and he gave us a whole course at church and didn't charge us for it. And it was a blessing. We studied books like Rightly Dividing. We studied Revelation, End Times. We studied dispensations, all these things. The only thing we didn't really deal with much is Greek and Hebrew, but the rest of it we covered, and it was good teaching. He was, he's a good man of God. So, but I had that, and I had the Lord guiding me. Now, he dealt with the way I thought. When God guides you in life, whether you go to seminary or not, you still have to come to a point where you spend time with him. He'll prepare you for whatever's necessary. And he used my situation. I had a mobile auto service, and he dealt with the way that I saw people. And this turned out to be a tremendous blessing for me. Because in my Pentecostal mind, before I started that business, I thought every neighborhood was like the one I came from. And I thought people were pretty much okay. But when I started working on people's cars at their homes, some people have had terrible situations in their lives. And I saw the aftermath of adultery, the aftermath of fornication, the aftermath of drugs, the aftermath of drunkenness. I saw the aftermath of people being hurt, abused. I saw the aftermath of people obeying God. I saw the aftermath of people seeking God. In one day, I might work on a man's car. He's got everything going for him. He's been to school, professional career. And sometimes they go to church, sometimes they don't. I may go and work in the projects on the same day. And in the projects, I might work on a Cadillac. And then over the mountain, I might work on a Cutlass Supreme. It's not a much of a quality car, but I saw different situations. And everybody's in the same trouble. If we don't know Jesus Christ, life goes haywire. No matter where you come from, how you see things, if you don't follow Jesus, your life goes haywire. I saw this with my eyes. Now, I grew up in a home where my parents loved God. They put him first. They obeyed. They worked blue-collar jobs. My mother was a teacher. My dad worked at a plant at U.S. Pike. Then they would drive to Utah, Alabama and preach. And then come right back and start and work a full-time job, both of them. My mother always had dinner ready. My daddy would come home and he never complained. If he had a hard day at work, you would not know it. But he had the kind of job when you get home, you want to sit down. But he would always feed the birds, and he would always have a hum. He would be humming a song. He's the most content man I ever seen in my life. And look, knowing him and being around him, you wouldn't know what he went through. His parents were killed when he was 5. He saw it. His mother was pregnant with twins. He was raised by his grandparents. And he was a hard worker. He used to work in the fields all the time. And he was a tough man. He was a man's man. He forgave the man that killed his parents because he was drunk. And my daddy had grown. He had been through World War II. He saw the aftermath of death. The man he vowed to kill, he forgave. You would not know these things. And he never told me. My mama told me all these things. So You never know what a person go through, but in my sheltered life, I saw goodness, and I expected goodness. Then I saw what was really happening, and the Lord had to train me and prepare me for what I have a strong. When He taught me to love His people, I saw another side of God. I didn't just see God as a stranger. I saw Him up close and personal. So when you draw near to the Lord, you begin to see what He sees. And don't back off from it, because if you see what He sees, you're going to be able to represent Him better and more genuinely. You're going to be able to compensate for people's losses and still represent Jesus. When people are fussing at you at the point of cussing you out and making you feel bad, that's when they need you the most. They need you to be long-suffering. And you can be the, you can make the difference, and that person might get saved. If they get saved, their influence gets saved. If they get saved, their counsel gets saved. The way that their advice gets saved too. And the people and everybody they come in contact with, everybody they get in contact with will see a changed person according to their devotion to God. And the more devoted they are to God, the better their advice will be, the better that if they take time and study the word. If, like my pastor said Sunday, if they are a believing believer, they become overwhelmingly effective. Now, most people don't have a revelation of how a common, everyday Christian, the impact that they leave behind in the course of their life, it is high. There was a girl, young girl, she worked the parts counter at Napa. Or she delivered the parts in Napa. And she was in her 20s, but she went to church. At her funeral, she died. All of a sudden, she died, a heart problem, in her 20s. And I think she had a child. But this girl had fallen in love with Jesus. And at her funeral, it was so many people that told about the things that she had done from the time that she known Jesus. And it was very effective. People talked about it for a long time. And she was just a Christian that loved God. Another man I know, he was supposed to be preaching, but he kind of ran from it. But at his funeral, it was packed. And he left a legacy. People from his job came. Friends, family, and you know, about 5 or 10 of them about 10 people spoke, if I remember right. The pastor gave them a few minutes each, and they said all kind of wonderful things about it, how he touched their life. Now, most of the people you know don't come to your funeral, just the people that's still alive, people that's in town, people that can make it. So when a man gets saved, we can't see the impact. God can. Every one person that has a testimony and they have a devotion. Now, as a man of God, before the Lord called me to the ministry, I wanted to do these things. I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to represent God to people. And I was shy and I was quiet. More than I was shy, I was quiet. I always had a quiet personality. And people that knew me in the past, they knew I didn't talk much. My daddy didn't talk much, unless he was preaching. And I was an observer. I liked to learn things. I listened more than I talked. By nature, God made me that way. I'm glad He didn't call me to be an evangelist. I probably would have been a lousy evangelist. But He called me to be an apostle. And I didn't know what an apostle was, but I knew the revelation. Judging by the revelation knowledge that He gave, I knew something was going on. I couldn't put my finger on it until he told me what kind of minister I was. I asked him in the first place, but in 87, I asked him what kind of preacher I was. In 92, he told me what kind of preacher I was. And I did not want that. That's not something that, you know, I was all excited about. Because I said, Lord, my life is already complicated. And now you call me to be something people don't even believe in anymore. I said, okay, we'll do this. I guess I was used to being my life being complicated. Now it's even more complicated. Now they're really going to hate me. Because all the apostles that God called, the ones that really have the anointing, they try to crawfish out of it. You know, that crawfish and the lobster, they run backwards. And they always crawfish away from it instead of going forward in what God really wants them to do. And learning them. You don't have to know what they do. You just have to obey. And God will show you what to do. Every apostle is different. And they're sent. They're like a prophet that's sent somewhere. But they have an assignment. And whatever you have an anointing for, that's what you're going to be able to do. You know, Peter, he was sent to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. Or you can say it this way. He was sent to the Jews primarily and the Gentiles secondarily. Well, Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And he was not sent to the Jews. When he went to Jerusalem, he went to jail. When he went to the way he got out of that problem was appeal to Caesar. That way he had protection, and he made it to Caesar's court. And once he was in the Gentile arena, he had the anointing for that. He didn't have an anointing for the Jews. God graced him and gave him wisdom, and he got out of there. If they would have let him go, they would have tried to kill him. I'm sure, in the Jewish mind of the day, they had already had set the path all down the road to kill this man if he got out of that city. They already had to sneak him out before. And now they was going to make sure he didn't get away. But when he appealed to Caesar, he had government protection. He had soldiers' protection. But he had to go through a shipwreck to get there. And along the way, once he was in Gentile lands, the anointings turned on again. So when you whatever God send you to, whatever he do for you, or whatever he anoint you to do, you can do it. It's not about you. He's going to give you his wisdom to do this. And he taught me how to. He sent me to his people. Now, he said he gave me instructions when he told me. He said, I sent you to the church. He didn't send me to unbelievers. Now, as an apostle, he can get on the radio. The first part of the most radio broadcast, I'm doing the work of an evangelist. I always bring people up to speed about salvation and show them how it works. But then I go into the message, and I do it at the order of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I start off teaching and continue, but most of them have an introduction to Jesus Christ, like an evangelist would do. But I thank God for all of it. He gives us wisdom that we need. But he sent me to the church. And so I had to share the word with pastors. And you would think it's easy to walk up to a pastor and give him a word. Well, some pastors, some churches, you have to have an appointment. You can't just walk up and talk to the pastor. And the Lord taught me how to get around all the guards and get to him. I could tell many stories about that, but whatever God wants you to do, he makes a way to do it. And I went through a lot of things. I did not like it. I did not want it, but I had a vow that I would obey God, and for which I'm grateful for that, because through that vow, I learned things that I could not. He took me far beyond myself. There are things that I know I wouldn't have done if I didn't make a vow. But I vowed that I would obey God. when you're following God, in his mind, this is what you need to do. And he don't back off. He's steadfast about what he tell you to do. We need to be obedient. He understands our position. He understands what we think. But nevertheless, he's right. We need to be obeying him. If we saw the bigger picture, we'll say we need to be obeying him too. So in God's mind, you need to be obeying, doing what I tell you to do. And then, but Lord, I don't know how to do it. They're not going to receive. I'm looking at it the wrong way. I need to act now on what God is saying now. And every time I did, it always exceeded my expectations. Sometimes nothing happened, but over time it did. Now see, when you're in faith, when you're in the bubble of faith, from the time you first believe, let's say you're believing for that car you wanted again, there's going to be a duration of time between the time you pray in faith and the time you actually receive it. It could take weeks, months, years, days to get the job done. But your faith is on during the duration. They finally made a car you want. You can't afford it right now. But Lord, I want you to put this in motion for me. I really want to buy that kind of car. That's my dream car. And you need to have dream goals like that, because you need to know what God can do. It's not just about receiving things. It's about what you genuinely want to happen for you. And you need to know God that way. There's, you know, the duration that you deal with will teach you about him. Anything can teach you things that you don't know about God. If you have terminal illness and you cry out to the Lord, now when you get healed, now you know the Lord. He's more than the man, than the one that loves you and did good for people in the scriptures you read about. Now it's up close and personal. He loves you. You're in covenant with him. God's not a foreigner. He's Emmanuel. He's with you. God is a person. He's not just the one that's far away. One time the Lord said, people act like I'm on the moon. Not too far away, but far away from them. But God is right there with you. No matter, you can't get in trouble. He can't get you out. The only problem, the biggest problem people have is they don't realize that he's right there with you. When he first started dialoguing with me, he was always right there with me. And I said, Lord, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. Because used to, when I would get in his presence, I would just faint. I'd fall out. I couldn't even compose myself to ask the questions I wanted to ask. But when I had the word in me, I kind of explained that yesterday's broadcast. But after receiving the word for 15 chapters a day for 3 months, I finally had the stamina to compose myself to ask the questions that I desired to ask the Lord. Now some people that study have an easier time hearing from him. He's always there. And he started talking. He told me some things I wanted to know about creation. And I'll never forget it. But if a crisis happened, just like when the gunfights used to start, I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. When I said that, I connected God to the problem. He gave me the authority, like Pastor said, exousia. I have the authority from heaven to say that. And then the dunamis, he said, that's like your sidearm. Well, in this case, the dunamis was the angels that made sure nobody got hurt. Because I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, because drug dealers can't shoot. They always shoot somebody that has nothing to do with their foolishness. I said, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody. That means nobody could get killed and nobody could get wounded. I made a statement in faith. And it was backed up by the dunamis It's like having the weapons of our warfare. We access the dunamis by speaking, and then the angels perform it.